All right, now let's continue here. Question came up, what happens to your money if the global currency comes in or devaluation comes in? All right, come to Proverbs 23. Come to Proverbs 23. Now, whether you try and make yourself rich or not, but this still applies. Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Do not weary yourself to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. That's all part of God's way. See, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay? When you look upon it, that is wealth, it is gone. Now that's what's going to happen when you wake up one morning after all the financial chaos of the collapse of the dollar and they bring in a global currency. For surely riches make wings for themselves and they fly into heaven like an eagle. The money is gone. Come in, we'll give you 1 for 10. We take the 9, we give you 1, and we're going to take the 9 and we're going to pay debt on that, our debt. You get the 1 and you pay your debt, but nobody's going to reduce it 9 to 1 on you. And so that's what's going to happen there. Okay? Okay, Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Okay? Verse 1, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, regardless of how much money they may have. For their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. And I've got a report here. 18-member group of central bankers conducting global economic experiment, preparing for the world currency. Quite a report. And guess who was in attendance? George Soros is at a lower level. No, Uncle Ben Bernanke. Okay. Now, Proverbs 24 again. Come down here to verse 8. He who plots to do evil shall be called a master of devious thoughts. Does that remind you of any politicians? That remind you of any bankers? Okay, let's come down here to verse 19. Do not fret yourself because of evil men, nor be envious of the wicked, for there shall not be a reward to the evil man. The lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Okay, so you trust in God. Now let's look at some Psalms. We'll look at a brighter part of this. Because everyone's going to say, well, what about me, Lord? I've got to live in this society. What's going to happen to me? Well, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Let's look at some Proverbs concerning this. Let's come to Proverbs 61. Not Proverbs, Psalms, rather. Sorry to mislead you, there are not 61 Proverbs. Okay? Now, here's what we're to do, and I've given some messages concerning some of these things, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. We need to keep our minds on what God is doing. We need to keep our minds on what God wants us to do, see? And when we see these things coming, that makes the Sabbath all that much more important, and the Passover and the Holy Days all that much more important than has ever been in the past. Though they were never lacking in importance, they become even more critical. Now, you have God's Spirit? Yes. You pray to God? Yes. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. God is going to hear. God is going to answer. And even though circumstances are difficult, remember what we've already covered. God will be with you in trouble because he has his Spirit in us. From the end of the earth I cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock higher than me. And we are facing things that are overwhelming. We're facing things we cannot even think of. How would you handle it if you had $10 trillion in your bank account? You'd look at that number and say, what is that? See, same way with the disasters around. How are you going to handle it when difficult things come around your way? Now continuing here, verse 3, for you have been a shelter for me. God watches over us. His angels watch over us. They keep us from trouble. So whenever you avoid some trouble, thank God. God had a hand in it. Whenever you come to understand something that keeps you from doing something wrong, thank God. God had a hand in it. And also a strong tower against the enemy. Because I know it's overwhelming to think of everything that's going on and everything that's taking place, and you contemplate the fact that, hey, what's going to happen when almost everyone out there is some kind of enemy against you? That you may find yourself in those circumstances. Okay? Here's what we need to do. Keep our eyes and our mind on what God has called us to do. I will dwell in your tabernacle forever. See? Remember what Jesus said. Don't fear the one who can kill the body, but cannot take away your life, because he can do nothing more to you. He said, fear him who can take your life, because he's the one who can give life. And we are looking for eternal life. See? So we need to count the cost on that. I will take refuge in the hiding place of your wings. We're going to focus on the wings of God, because the wings of God are those protections that come from his angels, are those protections that come from his Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. May you add to the days of the king's life, and may his years be as many generations. So he was contemplating eternal life. That's the thing to always remember. Everything around us is temporary. Everything around us is imperfect. We're going to have to fight against the imperfections. We're going to have to deal with the things that aren't right. We're going to have to do things to compensate or whatever it may be, whether in our work or in our lives or whatever the circumstances are. Okay? But to live forever. May he abide before God forever. So he follows it up with that. Prepare mercy and truth to preserve him, so I will sing praise to your name forever, so that I may daily perform my vows. And what are the vows that we perform? The things of the new covenant. Living under the grace of God. Think of the whole world out there deceived under Satan the devil. And yet those that God has called as direct access to God the Father and Jesus Christ, all the time. Keep that in mind. That's really something to contemplate. All right. Let's come to Psalm 17. This is quite a psalm. It's also thinking on eternal life. Thinking beyond what the circumstances are that we are dealing with right now. Okay? Psalm 17, let's begin right here in verse 1. And notice how many times that a psalm begins with, hear me. Hear me, O God. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer, for it is not from lips of deceit. Why? Because we want a pure heart. We want the things that are right. That doesn't mean you're going to be free of mistakes. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean you don't have things to overcome, but it is the direction in which we are going. Let my judgment come forth from your presence. Let your eyes behold the things that are upright. Because here's what God is doing. What is God doing in all of this? See, God is doing everything in this to prepare us for eternal life. And stop and think about it. How are we going to handle and help people that survive over into the beginning of the millennium? we are going to be dealing, how many have seen some of these things on the Wounded Warrior documentaries and what they go through and all of the shock that they go through. Think what we're going to be dealing with. But we're going to have the power to heal them. We're going to have the ability to help them recover from that. But in the meantime, verse 3, you have tried my heart. And God is trying us, testing us, proving us, day by day. Not that we earn salvation, but that we cry out for the character of God. We cry out for the Spirit of God. We cry out for the truth of God. We cry out for the love of God. See? You visited me in the night. You ever had that? When you wake up at night, you can't go to sleep. You lay there and pray, think, meditate, ask God to help you. Yes, indeed. You have tested me, and you shall find nothing. Why? Because we're trusting in Christ. I have proposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now, that's a good proposal, but that's awfully hard to do, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Concerning the works of men, by the words of your lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the violent. In other words, any way that deviates from God's way falls into that category. My steps have held fast to your paths. Remember what the psalm says? Look straight ahead. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. You look straight ahead to God, straight ahead to the Word of God. My steps have been held fast in your paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my speech. God will. Now, this is a promise. Remember what I said, what the rabbi said. All of the promise of God are in two categories. One blessings, one cursings. Everything here, are these the words of God? Yes, inspired. The words that David was inspired to say to God. This is his conversation with God. This tells us how to be in conversation with God. Verse 7. Show your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those seeking refuge in you. By your right hand have saved them. You by your right hand have saved them from those who rise up against them. So whatever it may be. Now notice what he said. Now think of this. This is awfully hard to grasp. But think of this. Do you have God's Spirit in you? Yes. Why? Because you repented, received the Holy Spirit of God, and love God, and are doing the things that are pleasing to Him. Correct? Yes. Does He love you? Yes. That's why He's called you. Does He love you in spite of your mistakes, not to condone or accept your mistakes, but to help you overcome your mistakes? Yes. See? Same way in everything that you do. Okay? All the loving kindness that is there. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. That means, let's look at it this way. Is there anyone who has the Holy Spirit of God that is not important to God? Of course not. He wouldn't have given you the Holy Spirit if it wasn't important to Him. Okay? So that can apply to you. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. That is the unseen protection that comes from God. From the face of the wicked who oppress me, my deadly enemies who encircle me. Now, there are times it seems like, whoo, that's exactly what is happening. Still trust in God. They have closed their pitiless hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes to cast down to the earth. They are like a lion that longs to tear his prey, like a young lion stalking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him. That's how we do with any problems we have. Ask God to help us. You know, there are times when that's the only thing we can do. Bring him down. Oh, this is praying for your enemy, too. You can ask God to bring him down. Okay? Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life and whose belly you have filled with your treasure. They are full of children and will leave their riches to their babes, but as for me. Now I want you to follow that single thread of thought all the way through that psalm. But as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. Now think of that. Now what is that going to be like to have a spirit body, to see God face to face? You know, that's very hard to contemplate. It's like asking a child before it's born, just wait until you see your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even know. Okay? And so great will it be what God has for us. It'll be just like that. Okay? Now let's look at another psalm here. Okay? Let's come to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. See, so what God is going to help you to do, and this is why we need the Sabbath every week. Every week, whether you're home, whether you're able to fellowship, that's why we need study every day and prayer every day. Those are the tools of our spiritual battle. And God is the power behind it. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What shall I fear? There's nothing to fear, though we live in fearful times. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, putting everything in God's hands. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Remember what happened when Hezekiah was confronted with the Assyrian army? And there was no way they could win that battle. And even the general was sent to the people who were on the wall watching, because the armies were out there getting assembled. It's not like today. They would assemble and get out there, and then they would come and taunt the people that are about ready to invade. So he sent one of the generals and said, "All you people of Jerusalem, don't listen to your king. Don't listen to Hezekiah when he says, the Lord will fight for us. We want you to understand what we did to every one of the gods and all of these other nations. We have utterly destroyed them. Now, if you surrender to us, we'll take you away. But if you don't surrender to us, we're going to kill you." So Isaiah came with Hezekiah, and they came to the house of God and prayed. God answered their prayer and said, "You won't have to fight. I will fight for you." Now, 180,000 soldiers, all their weapons, all their swords, and I mean in today with the things we've seen on television and movies, we can kind of imagine that kind of camp out there. All their horses, all their mules, all their camels. And they're ready to come and attack the next morning. So what happened? God fought the battle. That night an angel of the Lord went out, and all of them but the general and a couple of his assistants died. God fought the battle. Verse 3, though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not be afraid. Though war should rise against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I have desired from the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Notice how he overcame the thoughts of depression and fear and wretchedness and all of this, because we're going to see a lot of it. Think of it every time you see a disaster. Think of it every time where there is war. See? Verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. That is the shadow of God's protection, the wings of God's protection over us. And we can pray this for all the brethren everywhere. See, all the prayers that we pray, it's not just for us. Not the me prayer, but the us prayer. All the brethren. He shall set me upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So that's really quite a thing. And really, these are the things we need to focus on living in the last days. I mean, I thought about this just, you know, all this week, all the troubles and difficulties coming on and the wars and killing and starvation and things like that. And then the other night when I went through all of the 100 channels on television and saw all the wretchedness there, I thought, man, does this world need the kingdom of God? And do we not, as people of God, need to pay attention to God and wake up and understand what we need to do? Yes, indeed. And he answered me. Now, verse 8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Now, to see, what did Jesus say about the righteous? How do we get into the kingdom of God? He said that the righteous take it with great struggle. And that's what we're reading about here. This is the struggle. And we have that great struggle set right before us every day. Verse 8, now remember what Jesus said when you come to him. He said you have to love him more than father and mother, right? Notice what this says. Verse 10. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Closest one to him in his life, even if they forsook him, God will not forsake him. The whole result of it is this, verse 11. Teach me your way, O God. And if you do that and follow that, what's going to happen? You're going to be obeying the voice of the Lord, correct? Yes, indeed. And lead me in a level path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and he that breathes out violence. Those are prophetic words of Christ. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall make your heart strong. Yea, wait, I say, on the Lord. So that's what we need to do. That's something. Okay. Come over here to Psalm 31 and verse 14. Psalm 31 and verse 14. But I trusted in you, O Lord. I said, you are my God. Okay, now stop and think about that. Why do we have to affirm that? Well, because it's too easy to get idols in your mind. Too easy to have other gods before. You take the first commandment. What does the first commandment say? Anybody? Say, you shall have no other gods before me. Right, but what did he say before that? I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, comma. You shall have no other gods before me. See, he judged all the gods of Egypt, which are the type of all the gods and false religions in the world. They've already been judged. Now then, the idols, the false gods, are the things in our minds. See? The things that we do contrary to the will of God. The thoughts that we have. That's why none of us should get lifted up in anything about what we can do or anything, but thank God that we can do it. Okay, verse 15, my times are in your hand. However long we live, It's all up to God. I'm getting up there in age. I'm soon cracking 78 and a half. So I'm in God's hands, and I better take care of myself. And God's message to me is, I gave you a body. You know how to take care of it. You better take care of it. And I've had mercy upon you when you didn't take care of it, and you've had some things come along that had to be taken care of. Now you better sit up and pay attention and take care of it. See, God will do the rest. See, if we're walking in His path and doing His will, then we must do our part, and He will bless us in it. So we'll just leave it at that. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me with your loving kindness. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, the lips which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. Notice verse 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plottings of man. You shall hide them in a shelter away from the strife of tongues. Blessed is the Lord, for he has shown wondrous loving kindness in a besieged city. So this is showing that regardless of what is happening, God can give you grace and favor. God will watch over you. His angels will be about you. You will have the special protection of the presence of God, the special protection of the wings of God. Yes, indeed. Okay. Let's come here to Psalm 57. This is why we need the Psalms. And by the way, I've read all the Psalms and will have those available for you to have. And Psalm 57. And you can be able to play and listen to those to help you. And let's pick it up here in Psalm 57. Notice again the wings of God. And Jesus said to Jerusalem, the last thing he said, remember what he said? Said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets. How often would I have wanted to gather you as a mother hen does her chicks under my wings, but you would not. So you shall not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All right, Psalm 57. This is a great psalm here, okay? Notice the strength and power that God will use to help us. Verse 1, be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious unto me, for my soul trusts in you. Yea, in the shadow of your wings, God's unseen protection, I will make my refuge until these great troubles pass by. And we are going to go through what? What did Jesus say? We're going to be in the most troublous time that there has been in the history of the world. And it's going to come suddenly. When this debt thing comes and this currency collapse comes, there is no way that I have the words or the vocabulary or the ability to tell you how this is going to be on people around the world. It is going to be an utter catastrophe and chaos and blood and guts and gore and lying and cheating and stealing, everything like that, and people running around trying to figure out what they're going to do. So we will need this protection. In the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these great troubles pass by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me, because God has a purpose for each one of us. He shall send from heaven and save me. He rebukes him who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. Now just think about this. What if you're out during a safari in the African grasslands? And it's night. That's when the prides of lions come hunting. And you can hear them coming. Just picture that, okay? My soul is among lions. I lie among those who breathe out fire, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they have fallen themselves. Selah. Because God will always take the enemy at their own schemes. But notice verse 7. And this is what we need to be doing right here. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Be immovable. Be strong in the Lord. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake harp and lyre. I myself will awake the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing of you among the nations. For your steadfast mercy is great unto the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God, and let your glory be above all the earth. Now, these are the attitudes and prayers that we need in the times that we are looking at, and God will hear and help us. All right, let's close by coming to Romans, the 13th chapter. And let's understand that all of this, the way of God is love, loving God, loving neighbor, loving truth, walking in the paths of God, all of that combined together. Okay. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. Now consider this. Knowing the time that it is already the hour that we should be aroused out of sleep. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. And there is a quirk in human nature. When they're terrified and afraid of things that come along, they're virtually unable to think and unable to act. And remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him for the final prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? They couldn't keep awake. Isn't it something that people just shut down? So we need not be sleeping, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, yet further away than we would care to understand. The night is almost over, but the night is coming right now. And the day is drawing nearer. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and emulation. But let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no allowance for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now finally, we'll add one bit to it. Let's come to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. And let's come to verse 7. Okay? This is what we need to do. Here's the goal we need to be aiming at right here. And the reason is today we have the whole Bible, correct? We have access to it in so many different ways that were completely unthinkable even 20, 30 years ago. Completely unimaginable even when they had the printing press. Verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, not that we're saying we're Philadelphians. Everyone wants to claim to be a Philadelphian. God only knows where they are. And those are the ones who love the brethren because they love God. So if you got a lot of strife and contention going on, and you think you're a Philadelphian, maybe you need to reevaluate your thoughts and take it to God and get it corrected around. Okay? These things says the Holy One. This is a message directly from Christ. The one who is true, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts and who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Of course God will know our works, right? Christ and the Father dwell in us by the Holy Spirit, correct? Yes, indeed. I've set before you an open door, and no one has the power to shut it, because you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Whatever open door God gives to his people, to his churches, we need to walk through it. We need to do what God wants. Whatever door God closes, we need to not go back and try and do that again. Did God close the door on Pasadena? Yes, he did. Why try and recreate that again? That was closed. That was slammed shut. We need to go ahead and do the things that God wants us to do. Use the things that we now have to teach, to preach, to send out the gospel, to make these things available to people. We can't sit on what we have been given by God and just sit and wait for Christ to return. Remember the parables. You have to go out and work. You have to go out and trade. You have to go out and do. Okay? But just imagine this. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. Now, who are they? They are the ones, the super powerful elite, that control the world, that under Satan, the devil, that control all the banking systems, that control the wealth, that control all the aspects and functions of government and education and entertainment to perpetuate Satan's deception upon the world. And God has reached down into Satan's domain and has called us out of it. But their day of reckoning is coming. Verse 9, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who proclaim themselves to be Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will cause them to come and worship before your feet and know that I have loved you. Okay? They're going to have to come and bow down to God before our feet. The conquered enemy. God's justice will be served. Here's why. Verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience. That's why. I will also keep you from the time of temptation which is about to come upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Do we not cover how God is going to protect us, watch over us, keep us? Yes. Under his wings, in the shadow of his presence, in the shadow of his wings? Yes, indeed. Verse 11, behold, I'm coming quickly. Now, we don't know how far that's going to go. Quickly to God may be a longer time than we think that is quickly. But nevertheless, it's quickly. Hold fast that you have so that no one may take away your crown. And you hold fast to the truth, to the love, and all of the things that God has given. Then he makes this promise. Here's an overwhelming promise of such greatness, of such magnitude, of such, you know, everything that there is. Read this and ask yourself, what would I take in its place? The one who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall not go out any more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And he ends every letter to the churches. To the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.